Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell. It is minutes after WWE Raw went off the air. We've got all sorts of stuff going on tonight. Controversy with Seth Rollins and maybe his fiance, maybe a hacker, who knows. But we'll focus mostly on WWE Raw. You guys can take the conversations wherever you like. Try to keep it clean. That's all I can ask you. At 773-897-6321 is the call-in number tonight. We already have some people lined up and ready to chat. As far as Raw went tonight, man, I don't know if I watched too much wrestling over the last couple of days. I was in catch-up mode on, I've got one episode left of NXT and I'm caught up. I got two episodes left of Ring of Honor and I'm caught up. So that may have been a factor, but man, it just kind of felt like that show dragged on and on. And I didn't think it was one of those shows where there was just nothing happening. I thought they did some interesting things with the Fastlane main event. But then there were some times where it's like, hey, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are here, and really didn't go anywhere. Brock earned one of the easiest paydays he'll ever get by walking to the ring and then standing there and making some faces while Paul Heyman spoke. And, man, it's a great gig if you can get it. But I'm curious to know what you guys thought. Again, if you want to join me tonight, 773-897-6321. While we have you guys here, I want to remind you that coming up Wednesday night, Zach Zimmerman will have live coverage of the NXT TakeOver Rival Show, headlined by, well, basically, it's Kevin Steen against El Generico. It's Sami Zayn taking on Kevin Owens in the main event for the NXT Championship, a loaded show. And if you haven't been following Zach's NXT work, you should really start, because nobody is more hardcore when it comes to NXT coverage than Zach Zimmerman is. He's very passionate about it and follows that product closer than anybody I know. So definitely check that out. Live coverage, ProWrestling.net, on Wednesday night. And also, coming up tomorrow, you'll hear it right here if you're listening wherever you're hearing this, either blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET, or if you're listening on delay on one of the various ways you can do that. Tuesday afternoon, we should have the audio from Triple H's latest conference call. I am scheduled to take part in that, and we hope to have the audio available for you guys sometime on Tuesday afternoon. And so all sorts of stuff going on this week, not to mention the Vince McMahon and George Berrios conference call that will be coming up on Thursday that WWE will be doing. And always interesting to see how what Vince McMahon has to say about WWE Network and all the various numbers coming out. Should be an interesting conversation that Vince will be having with, well, not the wrestling media. Triple H talks to the wrestling media that the shareholders call as well, or not the conference call that Vince does, not so much for the wrestling media, but to people in the financial world. But we will be listening in, and I'll have live coverage of that for you guys. 10 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. All right, now that I've thrown all sorts of days and times at you, hopefully you'll remember some of this. If not, check the site. We'll have all the details there. But I do want to get to your phone calls. Again, the number to join me tonight, 773-897-6321. If you're wondering where the hell we were last week, it's because Triple H was interviewed by Steve Austin on WWE Network, and so I tried to warn you guys that there would be times like that where I'd need to take a night off, and take a night off I did to cover that particular show. You can find coverage of that if you haven't checked it out already at ProWrestling.net. And along with everything else we do, one final plug before I go to the phone line coming up on Tuesday, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern, it's PW Torch Livecast. Wade Keller and I co-host that show. Well, Wade kind of steers the ship. I'm just along for the ride, but I'm there every Tuesday with Wade at pwtorchlivecast.com. All right, I think I've got the bulk of the plugs out of the way right off the top. Let's start taking your phone calls. We're going to start tonight with the 630 area code. 630, who are you? Where are you calling from? I'm guessing it is Craig from Chicago.
You got it, and I just watched my Blackhawks get robbed. That's terrible.
I don't know if that helps or hurts the Wild, so maybe I'm happy, yeah. Maybe I'm not. I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter. No, they'll be there in the end. But
exactly.
I did watch the Raw tonight, and, you know, there's usually something about them smaller market crowds. Sometimes they just don't seem into it for some reason. I don't know why. I've noticed that over the years. Now, I know some people out there will say, well, Columbus isn't a small market, but it kind of is in a way. But, with the whole Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns thing, I mean, I just think they're setting themselves up to fail if they're going to go with Roman Reigns. I mean, I like the guy. I want to see the guy succeed. But right now, I mean, the only acceptable winner in that match in the eyes of the fans, especially the ones that are going to be at the Fastlane pay-per-view and WrestleMania is Daniel Bryan. And,
well,
you know,
okay, Craig.
I just, yeah.
Well, let's start with the crowd. I thought it was a pretty fired-up crowd until they had to sit through two matches with just lousy DQ finishes. And we had the broadcast team telling viewers at home that, hey, you know, this is horrible, this is wrong. Are they just, you know, is the authority just going to keep doing this? And I'm like, oh, okay, they're telling a story here, so I'm being patient with them. Went nowhere. Now, maybe it comes into play at a later date. But even so, I mean, it's not like the live crowd heard any of that, unless there was any kind of off-camera angle that I'm completely unaware of. So I can only blame the crowd for so much. It, like I said, felt like one of those draining shows. And what are your thoughts on a potential of a triple threat at WrestleMania? Let's keep in mind, Survivor Series, they went back on the stipulation 5 weeks later. TLC, they went back on their stipulation. Royal Rumble, they've gone back on their stipulation. So at Fastlane, they do a schmoz, a double DQ, something, and we end up with a triple threat, and they go back on their stipulation. Would you be okay with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan challenging Brock Lesnar for the championship at WrestleMania 31?
Well, I wouldn't have much of a choice now, would I? That's the match I'll get, but yeah,
well, I'm giving
you
a choice. I mean, if you just you know, as a viewer, is that the match you would like to see? I mean, how do you feel about that one?
I personally would like to see a one-on-one with Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. I don't think 2 years in a row of a triple threat main event at WrestleMania, I think that's too much. I think the main event at WrestleMania should be a one-on-one match, and you know. I just think that would be too much for 2 years in a row like that.
You may be a Blackhawks fan, and I very rarely agree with you folks, but I agree with you in this case. If the match happens, I think it'll be good. You know, I mean, that's not the issue, but it is what you said. I'm a big believer in the WrestleMania main event should be a one-on-one showdown match that you kind of, you know, if they do it right, you either spend the whole year looking forward to, or in some cases it gets set up at the Rumble and you look forward to it there. And it does. So it doesn't mean the triple threat would be bad, but if it came down to it and you had to choose Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar or the triple threat, which one do you go with?
You know, I mean, I don't think Roman Reigns is ready, but they pulled the plug on it at WrestleMania. I think you got to stay the course with that. As much as I don't like it, you know, I mean, it just kind of makes your product look bad if you pull a switcheroo there. I mean, you're going to have to kind of bite the bullet on this one, really. You know, the way
I
see it.
It's a tricky one. You know, I think Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns is the safe answer if WWE is trying to please everyone going into Mania. But if you're really trying to get Roman Reigns over as the babyface, it becomes even trickier. I mean, I thought on tonight's show, Reigns spearing Daniel Bryan, it wasn't like the crowd was in, you know, behind Roman Reigns. It wasn't all-out Roman Reigns hate, but I don't know about you, Craig. I'm listening to the show going, okay, this crowd is tougher on Reigns than last week's crowd was.
Yeah, but if that's in Chicago or New York or Philly or even Boston, I mean, that crowd is raining fire down on Roman Reigns after that spear.
Well, and even, heck, if it's WrestleMania itself, you know, I mean, just because it's fans from all over the world, and that's a tough crowd.
See, they're in trouble. They're in trouble if they're going to go with Reigns, but, you know, you made your bed. You're going to have to lie in it because otherwise you're damaging the integrity of your product, really. You know, the gimmick of your Royal Rumble match with the automatic title shot and everything. I wish, you know, I wonder if they actually knew that this was going to be a problem going in. You know, I just wonder. Are they just out of touch? You know that, hey, Daniel Bryan's white hot. Another thing that factors in is is Brock Lesnar going to re-sign or not? Because if he re-signs, then he would have to turn Roman Reigns heel. And keep that title on Lesnar through WrestleMania maybe another year. So, I mean, there's so many
I don't even know if you'd have to turn him heel at that point. I don't know that you'd have to turn Roman Reigns heel. I mean, it's an option. But I don't think there's anything wrong with Reigns as the guy who came up short. He needs to go back and rebuild for a year, and Brock is still the dominant heel champion.
Well, I'll tell you what, they certainly make for interesting TV right now. So it's good drama going into WrestleMania. What's going to happen?
Well, anything else tonight, Craig, before I jump on with some other callers?
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought that Dean Ambrose got the pop of the night, actually. And You know, I thought a couple months ago he was the guy that was white hot, and then they kind of, you know, screwed with them by putting him in a program with Bray Wyatt, and I thought they probably should have rode that one out. But, you know, that's why I just watch. You know, who am I? You know, I'm not in the company, so.
All right, man. Well, it's good to hear from you tonight. Sorry to hear about your Hawks. I didn't see the game myself, but sounds like a screwy finish. And like I said, maybe it'll help the Wild. But like Craig said, though, it's the Hawks. They'll be in it at the end, and who knows if my team will or not. But no comment on that because I know one person, that being my co-host tomorrow, sometimes tapes the games, as I do. I'm up to speed on tonight. But for his benefit, I won't get into any spoilers regarding tonight's Wild game. I can't guarantee the callers won't wait, so don't get mad at me. Oh, no, it's that time. All right, everyone, you've been warned. He is on double secret probation. He is a .NET member. I worry about him on this night especially. But, Rabbit, behave yourself, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I want to talk about maybe next week's inductee into the Hall of Fame.
Sure, would that be? Oh, you talked about him 2 weeks ago, and I mean, I don't think anything's changed there. I wouldn't worry about him not being announced on tonight's show. That's, I mean, it's, you know, we're kind of at that point. Once you get through the first couple of names, then I don't know that there really has to be an. I mean, if it's a 3-deep Hall of Fame, then cool. Then I think you get the big guns out of the way, and you save the three that aren't going to have as much box office. But I mean, they could have announced him. They could have announced him tonight, I think, and it would have been fine. But I'm still guessing that he will be inducted this year. But no inside info there. Just to kind of, I mean, even Jim Ross blogged about it, and so I would say that chances are pretty good you're going to get your way, Rabbit. But go ahead.
Okay. Here's my point. As a regular at the Cow Palace, I got to see him and Patterson wrestle a lot. As you know, because I was front row. In Minnesota, you guys had the AWA, but in San Francisco, we had big time wrestling. My point is, Stevens and the Bomb Bombers, Stevens and Patterson, were the greatest tag team I had ever seen in California. They could do it all. They could beat anybody.
And I think you'll get your way, man. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been hyping Stevens. I really hope he gets it because, I mean, even later in his career, as old as when he got older, he went into he went down to Mid Atlantic, but he was also in the AWA for a while.
So yeah, unfortunately, that's pretty much where I saw the majority of Ray Stevens at the very end of his career. You know, and it just you could tell, like they spoke about him in high regard, but what I was seeing just wasn't the Ray Stevens they were gushing over. You know, unfortunately, just was the twilight of his career, and he had put on, I think, a lot of weight. And I mean, he could still, for a guy his size, he moved around pretty damn well and everything. But I just unfortunately didn't get to see him in his prime like you did.
Oh yeah, I mean, to me, that tag team of Patterson Stevens were great, and even when they feuded over the U.S. title, when Patterson and Stevens went at it against each other, those were epic bloodbaths. I'm not talking about the blood you see nowadays very rarely. I'm talking about Crimson Mask. I'm talking about, you know, I'm just talking about really, really big bloodbaths. They had a feud. And, I mean, I've seen some great matches with them. I mean, you know, it's one thing in San Francisco. I mean, we were used to that kind of stuff. We had the greatest wrestlers. Later on, we had Piper in San Francisco. We had Morocco. We had Mr. Fuji. We just had some of the great wrestlers in San Francisco. I thought we had the best promotion in the country at the time. Little did I know about the other promotions going around the country.
That's just it. You ask anybody from any area, and by and large, I think whatever they grew up on was the best.
Yeah. Well, then I started watching Atlanta after the demise of Big Time Wrestling, and the AWA came into San Francisco, so I got to watch the AWA for the first time. And I got to enjoy it. with their occasional show that they would come into the Cow Palace, or they'd come to Oakland and put on a show. And but still, I'm just trying. My point was that we had a great promotion in San Francisco. We had some of the best wrestling in the country. Of course, everybody's going to say that about their local promotion. But when you look at the talent in San Francisco, though, Moondog Maine, Roddy Piper, and that was Piper before he went to WWE, before he went to Mid-Atlantic. He had an early Piper, a young Piper, who could still cut a promo and put butts in seats. And
did you have the Beer City Bruiser? I think not.
Oh, yeah, he could do that. Piper on the mic could talk anybody into coming to see him wrestle. I mean,
all right, Rad. Anything else tonight?
Even if I didn't have front row seats, Jason, I would have went to the Cow Palace to see him fight because Piper could had that kind of charisma.
Oh, I believe it, man.
He's in wrestling. I mean, WWE is great. It's okay. TNA is okay. Japan, all the other promotions, indie promotions, but you know they don't have they don't cut the promos that you could get in those days.
That's one thing we had in AWA for sure, with some great talkers, and I agree with you there. But I do got to keep it rolling here, Rabbit. We got a lot of people lined up tonight. Anything else, man?
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing.
Sure.
This is for those of you guys listening who don't know about it, and Jason will confirm it. At one time in the AWA, Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher.
Yeah.
And Jason will verify this. If you ever get to hear, go to YouTube or something, listen to the Crusher cut a promo, listen to Bruiser cut a promo, and then listen to a WWE promo. No comparison to the Crusher and the Bruiser.
Cool, right? Man. Yeah, I mean, sorry to cut you off there, Rabbit, but I got to say that Crusher and Bruiser together, before my time, I saw a lot of the Crusher, though. I mean, it was he was working as a singles and then eventually teaming, I think it was with Baron Von Raschke. And, even at that late stage in his career, just a great talker, you know, just an infectious personality. And so he's absolutely right there. But let's keep rolling through the phone calls tonight. Up next is 678. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And tell me we're not going to talk about Ray Stevens again.
Hello?
678, who's this?
This is Ron D coming from Atlanta, Georgia.
Cool, Ron D. What's going on?
Yeah, been calling y'all for the last three weeks. Haven't got to call in since, but now I got perfect time and for the right calling.
I'll do my best to keep you on as long as I can, man. What's up?
Okay, first of all, Rikishi into the Hall of Fame, good and excellent choice. Because I can finally start to get down to the beat and start dancing to his music again.
All right.
Okay. Now, we got this whole Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan thing going on. Now, with the Roman Reigns thing going on, I mean, we get it. Roman Reigns is part of the Samoan family. He got a big legacy of his family around him. But there's also Daniel Bryan. I mean, he hasn't had no type of wrestling ancestry, but he started from the bottom, and now he's up top over here. Now, I haven't took a look at any of Roman Reigns' matches outside of the E.
That's because there really haven't been any outside of developmental.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen some of Daniel Bryan's matches outside WWE. He faced a couple matches like Seth Rollins outside WWE and even AJ Styles. Now, when I took a look at his matches, Daniel Bryan looked like he's still at the top of his game, even before he was in WWE.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can find on the Ring of Honor website if you're a member, or I'm sure there's some stuff available on YouTube. You can find lots of Bryan Danielson, as he was known then, out there, and some really great stuff. So, I mean, and not as repetitive. You know, I mean, that's the one thing I would think that people who have followed his career closely would agree on, is that, Daniel Bryan in WWE is a lot of fun and is great, but he really got to do some different things. I mean, he would have 60-minute draws in Ring of Honor at times, even. And so it wasn't just, the kicks and the suicide dive and just, it wasn't that WWE style where it was as repetitive. And so there's some really good stuff out there. I mean, but you're preaching to the choir in this one as far as Daniel Bryan just obviously being a better worker than Roman Reigns. I don't think anyone will disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the question is, Ron, is he as good looking as Roman Reigns? He seemed to think so.
Oh, boy. Then there's something going on in TNA. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like, I mean, I took a look at some of the matches at the Lethal Lockdown episode of TNA Impact on Destination America in HD. Now,
yeah.
I know this is kind of an angle. But I don't know if they're just trying to take Jeff Hardy out of the angle out of TNA so that way he can try to get himself reassigned and start putting himself on the free agent market.
I can tell you exactly that big bump that he took that aired on Friday's show, you can set your clock by basically. Whenever they're going to the UK, you're going to see a Jeff Hardy injury angle, some sort of angle where Jeff Hardy leaves television, something, because legally he's not allowed to enter the UK. I don't know if it's something with his probation, if it's the UK because of his probation. I'm not even sure of the legalities on it, but he's still on some level of probation, I believe. And so legally he just can't get into that country, or into the UK, I should say. And so that's why you're seeing that angle. I don't know that you needed to see that particular bump, but it's Jeff Hardy. I guess that's what he does. I just wish that instead of marveling at the crazy landing that Jeff Hardy had, the broadcast team would actually frame it as, my God, those sadistic heels, how could they? And instead we didn't get that. We got a lot of talk about, oh, I hope Jeff Hardy's all right. And you need some of that, but you also need to blame the heels for it, too. And we didn't get nearly enough of that on Thursday or on Friday's Impact.
Well, I do hope soon he might come back home to the day because...
No, he's still in TNA. He's definitely still in TNA. They actually announced, they didn't get into terms of the deal, like saying how long, but they definitely indicated, John Gaborik put it out there, who's the head of talent relations, that Jeff Hardy is going to be staying with them. So you will not be seeing Jeff Hardy back in WWE barring something, some sort of strange, shocking occurrence, at least anytime
soon.
Yeah, no. Who knows when the next time his deal's up.
Yeah, I just know that. I'm just saying, when or if he comes back soon.
When or if?
Yeah, when or if.
Yeah, well, maybe someday, man. I appreciate the call. I got to keep rolling through the phone calls here. Up now is 305. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
What's up? This is DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ, what's going on?
I got a couple things. The first thing is that I guess Wyatt's going to call out The Undertaker. I just hope that it's not going to be like, a Wyatt and, Dean Ambrose. And I just hope they're going to do something right. But I'm just scared what they're going to do, because if The Undertaker is going to retire next year in Texas, I'm just scared that it's not going to be a great match. And I don't know what they're going to do. It's just the vibes are already there. It's not going to feel right,
Well, DJ, I've been at this point now for a few years, and so people who hear my audio on a regular basis are probably tired of me saying it, but I'm ready for Taker to settle down. I don't think he needs to go balls to the wall and try to have the best match on the show. And I think people will be satisfied at this point, by and large, if they get the Taker's back and he's going to hit his signature spots. And, you know, I mean, that's what I think. At his age, I think people saw, especially last year, he can't keep doing that. He can't keep trying to steal the show. And the tough part has been Taker himself. He just has that mentality that, you know, he wants to go out there and deliver the best match possible. And I obviously respect that mindset, but at some point I'm hopeful that he'll just kind of settle into, it's still a treat that he's here. The streak's not there, but I think the fans will be receptive as long as they see some of his signature spots, the old school rope walk, the choke slam, the last ride, the things that Taker are known for. You know, you work in a little bit of selling, and so maybe the match doesn't steal the show, but it's more about the spectacle of Undertaker being at WrestleMania, that big entrance, and, you know, seeing him once a year. So I'm fine if that's all this is this year. If it just, that, you know, you don't come out of it going, wow, Undertaker stole the show again, but instead you come out of it going, man, it was really cool to see Undertaker again. It left a better taste in my mouth than last year with that match with Brock Lesnar.
Right. But you don't think they would go balls to the wall because it is last match, right? I mean, you know Vince.
Well, I mean, it's Taker, though. I mean, he doesn't have to be in the last match. I mean, they're not going to, they don't seem to pull back on Undertaker. I mean, if you're talking about saving something for the main event, Taker's match is going to be considered one of the main events of that show. And so if, you know, if that's Taker's approach is to go balls to the wall with this, then I would assume that unless there's some kind of conversation, there's some concerns about his well-being or something, if it's just the mindset is, you know, Taker, do your thing, and he really wants to go out there and try to steal the show, they're probably just going to let him. You know, I can't imagine it's going to be, well, you got to save this Undertaker, or Mark, as they would call him. I can't see that conversation really taking place. So, yeah, if he has that mindset, even if it's not the last match on the show, I'm sure, you know, he'll have the chance to do that.
Yeah, I just hope it's a great match, you know, because he is going to retire. But let me say about the Dolph Ziggler thing. What do you, I mean, now like the big storyline's over with him, now they're just going to push him to the side, Wyatt beat him like nothing. It's just like now he's back to nothing again. I mean, do you think that Sheamus is going to come in and be a heel and then he'll go after him instead of Bryan at WrestleMania? Or, I mean, do you think that they're just going to push him to the bottom of the ladder again?
He kind of looks like a guy potentially without a dance partner right now. What could happen, and this isn't based on any inside info, this is just speculation, if Bryan is somehow involved in the main event, be it a singles match, a triple threat, whatever, then maybe Sheamus is free. And if they want to bring back Sheamus as a heel, maybe he works with Dolph. But I wouldn't get your hopes up for that being a big moment for Dolph Ziggler. I mean, he is right now. It just seems like he's been given the assignment of going out there and helping make Bray Wyatt look really good. It doesn't seem like he's factoring into their plans or still doing that bit where the three fired guys run out. And we saw that again tonight during the main event where they ran out as a trio and tried to fight off the authorities' henchmen. But that seems to be it. Yeah, I don't see a real singles plan in place for Dolph Ziggler. Maybe something will kick in after WrestleMania, but it kind of feels like we say that almost every year about Dolph Ziggler. Maybe something after WrestleMania. I think what you see is what you get right now.
Let me ask you one more thing about it real quick before I go. Do you think if he would turn back heel, do you think it would give more, you know, flair instead of being just a baby face?
Yeah, I would like to see it. And I don't think the Dolph Ziggler babyface reaction is so strong that it's like, wow, how could you turn that down? I think Ziggler works pretty well as a heel. I mean, he sells well for babyface, but he also, I think, gets guilty at times of just popping right back up and going back into the offensive stuff. He can't. I mean, obviously, the guy can take some punishment if that's how you want to look at it, but I think there's still that deficiency there where I think he needs to slow down and sell some of those big bumps that he takes a little bit more. But as a heel, I mean, it's still some of those issues are still there, but I think he strikes me as a natural heel, always has. I don't know if it's the blonde hair or whatever. He doesn't, it's like he looks, I don't want to say he doesn't look cool, but because it's subjective, but to me, I've never seen Dolph as like this guy wearing the hot pink, the Billy Gunn look, is, wow, that Dolph Ziggler's a cool guy. And so I think you wear that same, some of that same gear as a heel, and it just, it's worked in the past. And so, yeah, I don't know that if he turns heel all of a sudden he's a world champion again or anything like that, but I just feel like there's a full slate, or full, you know, the slot is full right now. There's a full slate of baby faces, strong baby faces, and he's kind of at the bottom of that as far as, like, the upper to upper mid-card tier is concerned. So, yeah, I'm fine with Dolph turning heel.
Me too. All right, thanks. I'll hit you up tomorrow.
Hey, no problem. It's good to hear from you, DJ. And he is a regular caller on the PW Torch Livecast, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern at pwtorchlivecast.com. If you want to join me tonight, 773-897-6321. We can talk WWE Raw, the NXT Live special coming up on Wednesday. Ring of Honor, I'm almost caught up on that. We can talk about anything you want. TNA came up earlier. I'm up to speed on all things TNA right now as far as the television is concerned. I managed to pump out the Friday show yesterday, so I'm all caught up there. So anything you want to chat about tonight, again, 773-897-6321. Before we go back to the phone lines, though, I do want to give you guys a heads up about the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, and also just the regular website and app itself, the all-access version, as we like to call it, the free side of things. You can check out my WWE Raw hit list and Will Pruitt's pause review of Raw on Tuesdays coming out of the WWE Raw show. The site is updated pretty much if I'm aware. Wake during the week. It could be any time. I might be updating more tonight when this show is over. Who knows? I never really know what's going to happen. But news-wise, if there's something going on, we definitely keep you posted at ProWrestling.net. And then on the ad-free version of things, tons of audio. Obviously, you enjoy audio or you wouldn't be listening to this show. And we have a ton of it for you. The .NET Countdown Show that Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett get together and do, usually Wednesday or Thursday. And then the .NET Weekly Show. I've been rotating guests now for quite some time since Chris Shore moved on to other ventures and his Pro Wrestling Now promotion. Let's see here. Who did join me last week? I believe it was Will Pruitt joined me, and we'll figure it out this week with the conference call coming up. I'm going to see if Jake Barnett can join me, but his work commitments sometimes get in the way, but hopefully it'll be Jake coming up on Thursday. But that's a flagship show where oftentimes I include first-run news items that haven't been reported elsewhere. As I mentioned, it's an ad-free version of the website, and if you have our free iPhone or Android apps, you can get all the perks of membership right there on your phone. You can correspond in the members forum. Basically, everything you can do on the website version of our member side of things, you can do right there on your phone. Pretty nice gimmick, and best part is membership rates start as low as $5.50 a month if you take our annual option. And if you just want to try us out for 1 month and see if we're for you, great time to do it with all this stuff going on. $7.50 a month. All the details available in the sign-up area on the main page at ProWrestling.net. You can't miss it. And so if you enjoy this show, just know that there are hours and hours each week of additional member-exclusive audio content available. In fact, today I did nearly an hour of Q&A, answering the .NET member questions, and probably three-quarters of that was pro-wrestling-related. Then we have some fun at the end where I let them ask some non-wrestling-related questions, and we had a lot of Walking Dead discussion today. So we have a lot of fun over on the member side of things. We'd love to have you on board. Again, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net for details. And if you have any questions on any of this, follow me on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. Again, the phone lines tonight, if you want to join us, 773-897-6321. I am Jason Powell. This is ProWrestling.net Live. We are here Monday night, shortly after WWE Raw, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern. Spread the word. Hey, we want as many people to know about this show as humanly possible, so we would certainly appreciate your help with that. Up next in the phone lines is 262. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Matt from Wisconsin.
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Much, how are you?
Doing all right, man.
You know, I understand the thought process behind what they're doing with Brian and Reigns. I feel like they're really just hurting both guys because, you know, even tonight, I don't know if it was, you know, 85-15, 80-20, and then last week it was more like 65-35 Brian, but, you know, both guys are getting booed, and I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's, you know, benefiting either guy.
I can't disagree. Tonight was the first night I felt like I heard some real Daniel Bryan boos. There was one point where I couldn't quite tell, all right, are they ooing or are they booing when Daniel Bryan did, I can't even remember the spot exactly now. But I thought I heard some boos, and then I definitely heard some boos later. I mean, it's okay for one match at Fastlane to kind of let the fans choose. I wouldn't take this approach. I mean, I've already said that it's just no. I even if the idea is that, well, we're going to use Daniel Bryan to elevate Roman Reigns with a big handshake at the end, I think it's too big of a risk because there's no guarantee that even if Reigns goes out there and they have this great match, everything goes exactly the way WWE wants it to go, that the fans still don't go, boo, we wanted Daniel Bryan. I also worry that when it comes to Daniel Bryan fans, you put them through hell already, and if you do this again to them where you get them this close and then you pull the rug out from under them, how happy are they going to be? You know, the free month is nice, but, you know, are they going to stick around next month? So I don't disagree with you. This is a risky move on their part. But at the same time, I would hope you'd agree, it's kind of a compelling one just from the standpoint of, can they pull this off? Where is this going? What main event are they going with? And you know, everything kind of feels like it's up in the air. My guess went from, well, they're still going with Reigns to, maybe they play it safe and go triple threat. So it's they've got me guessing, too. Where do you see this heading?
I mean, I honestly don't know. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they decide, like, literally the last second. You know, they decide right up until, you know, the guys head out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they let both of the guys make their entrances and then Vince tells the ref in his headset, you know, Brian's going over. They lay out the match, but, you know, they don't have to finish until literally the last second. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if it's, you know, literally, like, right up to that.
Well, they're usually a lot better at pay-per-views than they are at Raw. At Raw, something, you know, weird things like that can happen with Vince changing his mind, but my guess is they already have. I mean, everything's up for debate, but I would imagine that I think coming out of the snow-in week, they had a course, and then it seemed like it changed last Monday. And I would hope at that time they had a strong feeling of what that course was going to be. Again, it doesn't mean that, you know, they can't change their minds at some point, as Vince has been known to do. But I would at least hope that when they came up with this plan to go Reigns against Bryan, when they came up with it, they knew exactly what they wanted to do.
Yeah, well, we'd hope. Speaking of things that were compelling but didn't make a ton of sense, I don't quite understand. Like, it produced fine television, but I don't quite get why Stephanie and Triple H are trying to force acrimony between Bryan and Reigns. Like, it doesn't seem to benefit them in any way.
Yeah, where they just stand there and watch the thing, and then I mean, that threw me off a bit. Just the idea that I don't get it. I guess, I mean, is it as simple as they're just meddling to meddle? I mean, at this point, it doesn't feel like
things.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. They don't have a dog in the fight, you know. I mean, they were supposedly they wanted Seth Rollins in there, and then when that didn't happen, now they don't have anything. And I mean, I guess it wouldn't shock me at the end of this if they do turn Reigns, if they try to make it seem like, oh, this was the genius of the Authority all along, and they played all these games, and they got to Reigns or something. I hope not. I don't want to think that all this TV we're watching is like just to build up to show us how smart and clever the Authority are again compared to those stupid wrestlers, but I can't rule it out.
It's only been a few months since they split up the Wyatt family, but it's been a complete bust, and, you know, with Bray probably going to The Undertaker. You know, it seems like a good idea to put them back together now.
Put the Wyatt family back together?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't think they ever should have broken them out. I didn't like the idea, and I even was like optimistic, like, oh, well, if they're going to break them up, they must have something in mind for these guys. They did right by the Shield, by and large, so they must have something in mind for these guys. And no, not really. It's Eric Rowan is going to be like the lovable, but he's not really lovable babyface, kind of the simpleton, but he's not really a simpleton. So I don't know what he's supposed to be, and I don't know why he has that awful entrance music. And then Luke Harper, he's another mid-card guy. He might win a match. He's probably going to lose a match. And then there's Bray Wyatt, who they're just getting ready for Taker. Yeah, put the band back together, because it doesn't seem like they really have a – I mean, and even Wyatt, you know, Matt, it just kind of feels like – He's getting this push now because they're setting him up for Taker, but I'd like to think they have more in mind for him coming out of that match, but I don't think they have. I'd be surprised after what we saw last year, because I wanted to think they had big plans for Bray Wyatt coming out of his loss to John Cena, and they did not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's ever regained the momentum he had after losing that feud to Cena. You know, they gave him Jericho. He beat Ambrose in every match they had, but just doesn't seem like he seems like he's lost that whatever spark he had after losing that Cena feud.
I'm with you. I mean, but that's on them. I think there's a way that he can lose to John Cena at WrestleMania. He can get some rub out of it, but the key is just the aftermath, what they do, what's next for Bray Wyatt. And I think they thought, oh, well, we'll have the singing choir boy and all this other nonsense that they did. And it just, it was, you know, one big swing and miss after another. And so I you know, maybe they thought they had big plans for him, but it seems like so many times when they get a heel, they race him into a program with John Cena, and then the end result is the heel's not as over as he was before John Cena slayed the dragon, which, I mean, that's going to happen, but it just feels like it's premature in WWE. They don't get the heels to the point where they're really getting, you know, where they've really reached full potential and people are really dying to see that showdown match. Instead, they race into it. It doesn't pack as much of a punch as it should, and then the heel, it just really isn't as over as he should be going in or coming out of that match. And that's what I think happened with Bray Wyatt, and that's what I fear is going to happen with Rusev, but we'll see.
Absolutely. Last one. So I think most people agree that even if they go with Bryan now and they scale back on Reigns, Bryan, even though he's only, I think, 33, he's been wrestling for close to 16 years, basically since he finished high school. So he's probably not got a ton of mileage left. There's a guy in NXT, pretty good guy, named Sami Zayn, who I think a lot of people see as a lot of similarities between Zayn and Bryan. Do you think in 24 months, the way we're arguing about Bryan versus Reigns, we're going to be arguing about Zayn versus Reigns?
Oh, boy. Let's see. You know, it's too soon to say. I mean, does the... I think Zayn has all the potential in the world to get over. Is it too similar to Daniel Bryan? I mean, I'm not saying that, like, the fans, because I think that by and large, like, the fans who were with Daniel Bryan when he got to WWE are going to be with Zayn when he gets called up. It's, you know, does he connect with the rest of the audience? And I think he will, but is there going to be some of that same concern within the McMahon family? I mean, right now he's the champion of NXT, and that's great, but a little bit different when you get to the big stage, a little bit different when you get Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn involved. I don't know. You know, I think there's a chance. I mean, but who's to say, like, they don't see this coming and go, we don't want this again, and just make sure it doesn't happen by never really giving the guy a chance to get over. I mean, I hate to feel that way, but, I mean, just they've been so stubborn with Daniel Bryan. But, I mean, that's, Matt, that's a kind of a concern I have with a lot of these guys in NXT, that as well as they are doing down there and as well-credentialed as some of them come in, Finn Balor and just Hideo Itami, some of these guys, it's they're on the small side, you know, and I hope that, you know, when Triple H is recruiting these guys and bringing them in, and I hope that it's because he really believes that when the time comes for him to take over, he can do great things with these guys. But I just fear that, well, Vince McMahon is still there. What happens to these undersized guys when they get to the main roster? You know, and so it's not even just Sami Zayn. It's kind of across the board, some of these what Vince would consider undersized guys, and how well does he use them?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think Vince is. I think he's going to be gone relatively soon. And the reason I say that is because, you know, you occasionally hear these very impressive people that WWE is hiring, you know, kind of the corporate and, you know, in some of their corporate positions, you know, and it seems like a lot of these people are hired by Triple H and Stephanie. And I don't think these people would take these jobs unless, you know, they felt like they were going to be given a lot more power. And, you know, that's probably not going to happen as long as, you know, Vince McMahon's there. I think this is going to go on relatively soon, because I don't think these people would have taken those jobs.
Give me a name. Who jumps out at you? What name? Who impresses you that you think they wouldn't do this?
What's her name? Michelle Wilson.
She's been there. She's a long. She's a mainstay.
Oh yeah, not her. But there's somebody who was hired recently. I can't remember her name, but I think it made Variety, and they kind of listed her resume, and I just, you know, I was really, really impressed by it.
Okay. I mean, I think anyone who goes to work for WWE is going to know Vince is calling the shots. That said, yes, I think Triple H and Stephanie, especially talent relations side with Hunter, and then somewhat on the creative side with Stephanie being kind of the overseer of that, then, you know, they're going to have some of their people put in place so that when the time comes, yeah, it's an easier transition. I think that makes sense, but I just don't know. With Vince McMahon, I mean, he's talked about dying in the chair. And I don't know that it's going to occur anytime soon that Vince McMahon is just suddenly going to go, you know what, I'm done. But, you know, Vince is, it's just hard to imagine Vince going, I'm going to retire and enjoy life. That's just never been his style. I mean, the guy is a workaholic, but, stranger things have happened, maybe, kind of. But that one, I don't know, Mark. I just don't know if that's ever going to happen where Vince just, says, that's it, I'm done.
Fair enough. Well, that's all I got. Have a good night.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Mark. Always good to hear from you. Up next on the line is 631. 631, who are you and where are you calling from?
Kyle from Long Island, New York.
Kyle, what's going on tonight?
I have a question about NXT. Why does it seem like everything in their storyline lines up so perfectly, from the Kevin Owens to Sami Zayn match all the way to the Divas match with Bayley and Sasha Banks, and also with the Finn Balor? Everything matches up perfectly, and then we go to the WWE roster and nothing in the build matches up.
Well, I think it's different writers, by and large. I mean, I believe Ryan Ward still has some involvement on the main roster as well, but it's Triple H's vision. I think it's a more laid-back atmosphere as far as creative is concerned. They don't have to constantly rewrite at the last second for a guy named Vince McMahon who wants to change everything on a whim. I think the writers are kind of allowed to do their jobs and see things through a little bit more. I just think it's a different vision. And, you know, I mean, some of it, obviously, though, is as simple as they don't have 5 hours of main television to produce. I mean, with Raw and SmackDown, they have 1 hour. It's, I think it's easier to fill that 1 hour and keep things interesting, but you're right as far as just the continuity of the storylines. I think they do a much better job in NXT, and I think they, by and large, I think they listen to that audience too. I mean, it's not like every guy they push is automatically going to just catch fire. Right now, it seems like they're having, it went from, the guy feuding with Bull Dempsey, Baron Corbin's a guy that I think highly of as far as he's still green, but he's got the size that I think is going to jump out to certain people in WWE. But he was really over at one point. The fans were into chanting 20, you know, or counting along with his match times. And then now it kind of seems like they're struggling a bit with him. So we'll see if they get him going again. But I mean, they have an incredible roster of talent down there as well. I mean, this is let's see what happens. I mean, it's right now. This is one thing I'm curious to see going forward with developmental. Right now, I think, as you try to get this thing off the ground, and they have, but, I mean, it's still in its infancy, I think it makes sense that you go out and you pluck the best there is from the independent scene and around the world. But as time goes on, do they continue to do that, or do they lean more to what they've talked about in the past, which is going out and recruiting athletes from other sports and bringing in a guy who gets cut by an NFL team? He doesn't make the cut there, and so they bring him in. Do we start to see more of that as they kind of settle in and just have more options available? I mean, it's what we see right now in from the WWE Performance Center and just developmental in general. I could see that shifting at some point in time, especially if there's, I mean, you can't, in a perfect world, yeah, all the indie talent would continue to be as impressive as they are now, but you're talking about guys like Balor and Itami who have been around for years, and at some point, and Kevin Steen as well, Sami Zayn, are those guys, are you going to be able to replace those guys with talent from the indie scene? Are you going to be able to find those next gems on a consistent basis as they are right now? So that's just something to watch.
Okay, then, Jason, I have two more questions. One,
yeah,
what are your expectations for this Wednesday show?
Oh, extremely high. I'm really looking forward to that show. I think the two big matches, obviously. I mean, the main event, I think if you've seen Ring of Honor for any stretch of time, you've seen how great Kevin Steen and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn can be. And then I think the finals of the tournament looks really good as well on paper. And then you go to the the women's match and the four win. I think, you know, it's possible we see a title change there. It strikes me that, you know, hey, it's a four-way match. Charlotte doesn't have to be pinned. Is she ready for prime time? Are they ready to call her up to the active roster? And could that be why? Is they want to bring her up, but they also don't want to have her lose the title. You know, it's an interesting scenario. So, I mean, this is a it seems like every time they do one of these NXT TakeOver live specials, I feel like it has the potential to be better than the last one.
And my last question is, like, regarding the free month this month in February. It seems like every time they're doing a free month now, they throw in an NXT event in it. Do you think it's because, like, they have the lower end, like, hashtag cancel WWE Network? Do you think they're doing that the way to bring back the fans that were upset?
That's a good question, and I'm getting a little feedback here, so I'm going to have you on hold there, and I'll answer your question, but I won't hang up on you. I don't know that it's – I don't think it's by design that it just – I think it – you know, November, maybe it was. I don't know. But February, the quick turnaround for the free month, I don't know that they had this planned in November. I think they ended up doing really well as far as having those people who signed up in November have their subscriptions roll over from free into paid. And I think they thought, let's do it again in February. And my guess is they already had it slotted for – the NXT live special. Now, I could be mistaken on that, and maybe, you know, if I get a chance at with the conference call tomorrow, if I get through, maybe I'll actually bring that up to Triple H if that's by design or not. If it is by design, not a bad strategy either. I mean, you're trying to, I mean, he talked about it during the Steve Austin interview with the WWE Network and the NXT viewers, kind of that more, you know, just diehard wrestling fan type. And so why not showcase NXT a little bit? Why not let people see how great it can be? And then so you win them over with the free live special, and you turn them into a regular NXT viewer and also a WWE Network subscriber. So if it is the strategy, like I say, not a bad one. I just say it may just be a great big coincidence, though. But thank you for calling, Kyle. There's still a little bit of time here. 773-897-6321 is the number to call if you want to join me. Up next, 352, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Steve from Florida.
Steve, what's up?
Okay, just a couple questions for you. One being, what would you do with Daniel Bryan in WrestleMania?
Okay, the tough part is Brock Lesnar staying? So you give me the scenario. Is Brock Lesnar staying or is he going back to UFC?
He's staying.
He's staying. Okay, if Brock Lesnar is staying, it's, you know, I think the matchup I want to see is Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar in a singles match. They've already messed with the integrity of the Royal Rumble, so I think at this point, even though, you know, I was like ready, just like, all right, it's done, they're going with Reigns, I think I go ahead and give people that match. If Brock Lesnar is staying, whether it's Daniel Bryan or it's Roman Reigns, I have Brock Lesnar go over. I think you invested a lot in Brock Lesnar by feeding the streak to him last year, and I think he's doing a hell of a job as champion. In a perfect world, he'd be available for one, maybe two more pay-per-views each year, so you wouldn't have those long gaps without title matches. But I think, you know, one of the perks of if it is Roman Reigns and it's not Daniel Bryan going on to headline WrestleMania this year, then, you know, you could tell the story of Roman Reigns just can't get it done at this year's WrestleMania, but maybe you build him up over the course of the next year to the point where people actually want to see him in that match. I know it seems crazy to think right now, but you never know. And same with Daniel Bryan. If Daniel Bryan's in that main event, Brock beats him, doesn't mean it's the end of the road for Daniel Bryan. It just means that he has a, you know, a new mountain to climb. He couldn't get it done against Brock Lesnar, but he's determined. You know, you give him that period of disappointment, but then he's ready to try to climb that ladder again and get back and maybe even have a rematch the next year with Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, does that answer your question, or are you going another angle with that?
No, that answers my question. The only thing that I'll add is I in the back of my mind, I put the possibility of Heyman being with Reigns. You know,
I
maybe they
it.
Do a face turn with Brock.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to see Brock Lesnar as a babyface. I mean, it's not my money. So if I'm Vince McMahon, I may feel differently about it. I just think he's just so dominant as a heel. I think they've just scratched the surface of what they can do with him and who they can put him in there with. If I felt like, well, Brock's kind of beaten the people I want to see him feud with, you know, what's left – Well, Brock is a baby face. Yeah, I think there's definitely some appeal there. I think people would pay to see it. But I still want to see Brock Lesnar work with a number of people. I mean, since he's been back, we've pretty much seen him work with John Cena, CM Punk, Big Show, and I guess he had, you know, Rollins was in the triple threat. Not much more than that. So I still want to see him work Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan and Dean Ambrose, and if Sheamus is a baby face, and the list goes on. So I would actually like to see him stay heel.
I agree. I just think he's a natural heel. The other question I had concerning WrestleMania, not that I had high hopes for it, but what do you see them doing with the get everybody on the show match? You know, is it going to be another Battle Royal? Is it going to be a Money in the Bank? You know.
I don't think it will be another Money in the Bank match. I mean, we still see Seth Rollins holding Money in the Bank. So unless he cashes in at Fastlane, I don't think that's in the cards. But, you know, people have been talking about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and I don't know if it's because it's established internally. It's nothing I've heard that they're definitely doing it, but people are talking like it's going to. And so, I mean, it might be because, well, they are doing it, or it could be people just kind of assume. I mean, they gave it that big buildup last year. My guess is that they would do it again, even though they really dropped the ball when it came to making the first one feel meaningful coming out of it. It felt cool when Cesaro won, and then they didn't do anything with Cesaro, so it's not like you can point back to, look where Cesaro went after he won that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. But it's an easy way to get people on the show, and it does, I think, giving it that branding of Andre the Giant Memorial, I definitely feel it helps that Battle Royal more so than here's a Battle Royal for no purpose and really nothing at stake. So, I mean, I'm fine if they do it again.
Okay. And my last question to close it out, do you think there's any plans to do anything with The Rock at WrestleMania?
It wouldn't shock me just because he was there at the Survivor Series. I don't think you're going to see him in the ring, you know, working an actual match. I guess I would be surprised. At the same time, if I'm them and I'm like, well, the plan was to go have The Rock be in Roman Reigns' corner when he faces The Rock, I would pull back on that. And it's not that I would say, you know, Rock, thanks, but no thanks. I'd find another role for him at WrestleMania. I just think that would be damaging to Roman Reigns. I think that WrestleMania crowd would eat Reigns alive, and I don't think it would do Rock any favors if the WrestleMania crowd just looked at it like the Philly crowd did. Okay, you're using Rock to try to shove this guy down our throat. So I would think that WrestleMania 32 is the one I would watch for. With them being in Cowboy Stadium, if Rock is willing to do more in the ring, I would think that would be the place for him to do it. Same with if they were to go with Undertaker, Sting ever. I'm not even saying they should, but if they wanted to. I think WrestleMania 32 is where you roll out the big guns if you're going to try to fill up that 100,000-seat mammoth Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, always a pleasure. I appreciate the call. Up next, 718, who are you? Where are you calling from? Hey, 718, are you there? All right, I don't know if he's blowing his nose or moving furniture or what the hell that was, but 718, I put you back on hold. On the off chance that you heard this and You actually want to talk and not just, like, move furniture or blow your nose in the air, I'll try to come back to you one more time. But instead, we're going to go to 816. 816, who is this?
This is Travis from Kansas City.
Hey, Travis from KC. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing? Have two questions for you. If they go with Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at Fastlane, do you think it would be better if they turned Roman Reigns heel?
If they go, I'm sorry, give me the scenario again. I heard the if they turn Reigns heel part. What was the first part?
If they go with Lesnar Reigns at WrestleMania.
I think that works better for WrestleMania itself going forward. I'm not so sure. And the reason I say that is if they really believe there's something there with Reigns, I wouldn't turn him just going, but that Mania crowd is going to be tough on him. I would turn him because, all right, it's not going to work with him as a babyface, but it will work with him as a heel. So I don't do it for that reason, I just because of Mania. And I still think there's some money in Roman Reigns as a babyface. They may have already decided he's going to be heel. And at that point, if they have, then I think you do look at the possibility that Paul Heyman ends up with him. Because as we see, Roman Reigns' shortcoming really is the promos. But I would also say it's not Paul Heyman. Maybe it's he becomes Triple H and Stephanie's guy, too. I don't know where that leaves Seth Rollins, but I think that's at least a possibility, is somehow, some way he ends up with Triple H and Steph after all of this. But I kind of hope he stays a babyface. I'd actually like to see him, him and the company make this work somehow as a babyface.
Yeah, me too. But I also like the idea of Heyman doing a lot of his working with him on promos.
I do too. You know what, though? Tonight I thought was the best we'd heard Roman Reigns in some time. I think there was a line he flubbed at one point, but he kind of seemed like he had a little bit of that cool factor back. And people aren't willing to accept him as being the cool guy right now, so that's obviously an issue. But I thought what he said and with the confidence he delivered it with, I thought was much better than we've seen. I thought he just had a little bit of that edge that's been missing when they were trying to make him John Cena light, when he's just going out there and being all smiley all the time.
Yeah, I thought tonight was his best work on the mic I've seen since he's been on the main roster.
Well, there was some great Shield stuff, but it was basically it was a setup for him. The other guys would do the bulk of the talking, and then he'd come in and he'd have the cool line at the end. And that, I think that's what made them feel like, wow, we've got something here. But tonight I thought was the one of the better times or one of the better jobs he and they have done as far as like making that work throughout a longer promo rather than just one or two cool lines at the end.
I agree. I also wanted to tell you that I'm a .NET member, and I appreciate all the hard work you and your staff do.
Well, hey, wow, I really appreciate that. I appreciate your membership, and thank you so much on behalf of the staff as well. We all appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, and you have a good evening.
All right, thank you, Travis. What a cool way to potentially close. I'm going to give 718 one more chance, but definitely appreciate that, Travis. 718, are you still blowing your nose or moving furniture? Going once, going twice, 718, I tried. That's all I can do is try, my man. All right, no luck on 718, and you know what? That is going to wrap things up for tonight. I'm going to get out of here a little bit early. I told you guys it's a one-hour show, and we almost always end up going 90 minutes, but I think tonight I'm going to go watch Better Call Saul, part two. I'm going to dig that. All right, you know what? One more call. I can't help myself. And then I'm going to go watch Better Call Saul Part 2. No spoilers. I won't spoil anything from last night for people who haven't seen it. And nobody better spoil it for me tonight, damn it. 515, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Neil in Des Moines.
Neil from Des Moines?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, so far so good. You're the last guy. Now another person popped on. All right. Neil from Des Moines, and then 347,
right,
that's it,
clear.
Last two callers of the night. But you take your time, Neil. Go ahead. What's up?
Okay, thank you. Go Blackhawks, by the way.
Hello?
Go Blackhawks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, well, you're from Iowa. You don't know any better. Was that it? You called to talk about the Blackhawks?
No.
All right, what's up?
I still think, I just really hope it's not a triple threat match at WrestleMania. I mean, it sounds like Vince is going to do that from what I've read. I don't know, one-on-one. Is Lesnar staying? Is he not staying? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I hope we don't find out when it comes to Brock. I'd like to go into WrestleMania with that still being a lingering question. So regardless of if the match is a triple threat, if it's a singles match with either guy, hell, if it's a four-way or a five-way or whatever way they want to go with it, I think it'd be pretty cool if we went in just not knowing what the future holds for Brock Lesnar, because then it would be, you know, because if you find out, okay, he's going to UFC, then
right.
we all know he's dropping the title to someone. And maybe that plays into the whole triple threat thing, too. Maybe they're worried that, okay, if he's going back and word gets out that he's leaving, then it becomes obvious that one of that the other guy is winning. But if it's a triple threat, well, there's two of them, and then there's still a little mystery there.
I totally agree. I hope we don't know either, because what was it, Goldberg and I can't remember at WrestleMania or whatever, and everybody knew they were both leaving, and they just booed the whole match.
Right. And I don't think Brock will get that this time, but I tell you where it really becomes frightening is if it is Brock against Roman Reigns and that WrestleMania crowd doesn't want to see Roman Reigns win the title and they know Brock Lesnar's leaving. That's when, you could get kind of a repeat of that, where I think even if Brock goes back, I don't know, maybe I'm being too kind, maybe I'm giving the fans too much credit. I'm sure there are going to be some who are disappointed he's leaving, but I don't know if there's going to be that level of screw you, because this guy's really worked hard, and he's making a business decision, where last time, I think maybe it was some of the way he was portrayed, and maybe he still had some maturity issues, but I don't think that people were happy with Brock Lesnar. I think the perception of him was that he's being a big baby, and he's going to leave the company, and go screw yourself, Brock. I don't think it's going to be that way this time.
Yeah, I agree. I hope he stays. I really do. I think the way they used him, they probably should have had him on another pay-per-view or two, but I really enjoyed how they've used him this year, and I hope he stays. I mean, he can make more money in the WWE than the UFC in the long run, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the interesting part of this is, okay, UFC can afford to pay Brock whatever the hell they feel like, basically. I mean, within reason, but if it's a financial call, if it's just strictly money, then I do believe that UFC wins. But if Brock is looking at it like, I can go back to UFC for a year, cash in there, and then I can always go back to WWE, because realistically, Brock maybe has a year or two left as a fighter, and but then, he can continue to work WWE, but then they're going to look at it like, but he doesn't have any leverage. That's the one thing Brock's had going for him throughout his career is he's had leverage, whether it was playing UFC against WWE. I mean, hell, the guy went to play for the Vikings. And if he doesn't go to UFC this time, if I were Brock Lesnar, I would sign a multi-year deal with WWE, because this might be it. A year from now, maybe you get one more year where you can play WWE against UFC. But I think if I really didn't want to go back to UFC, I might try to just get the best deal that I can. But he's got some pretty smart people around him, including Paul Heyman and some lawyers and everything, and Brock's pretty savvy when it comes to these things as well, so he's probably going to make a better decision than you or I would.
I agree. I hope he does stay, though. All right. Thanks.
Hey, I appreciate the call. As much as I enjoyed Brock Lesnar's UFC career, I really did, but I haven't, I'm kind of a lapsed fan or a casual fan. It's not like I just completely ignore UFC. I'm not ordering all the pay-per-views, and I'm not watching all the television shows, and there's people that are just extremely passionate about it, and it just became too much trying to do wrestling and that at the same time. Some people can pull that off. Dave Meltzer pulls that off. I can't do it. I just can't. I need to kind of focus on one or the other, and so I kind of enjoy being a UFC fan rather than someone covering it for a living. And I just, looking at it, though, I'm speaking as kind of just from a fan's perspective on it. I'm looking at UFC for Brock Lesnar going, there's money in Brock Lesnar returning to fight. I get why UFC's interested. But the UFC fan in me is looking at it going, all right, he can fight Frank Mir again. And I think that's a bigger deal to Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir than it is most people. I've been there, I've done it. I don't really care if I see those guys fight again. And then the other one is like, okay, and then Cain Velasquez, whoever UFC champion would be at that time, if Brock were to beat Mir, would they go right to that? I don't have any confidence. I mean, I'd watch both fights. Don't get me wrong. That's a tricky thing here. But I don't sit here and, fantasize about, God, if Brock could just get Cain Velasquez back in the octagon again. because I don't think the result would be any different. So, I mean, that's just me. But we'll probably have time to talk about that. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe Brock's going to stick around. But I would like to see him stick around WWE. I just think he's doing a hell of a job. And that performance he turned in at the Rumble, that's not a guy who's just, like, leaving going, he's mentally checked out. That's a guy who's really either going out the right way or is doing everything he can to position himself well leverage-wise. We have 2347s in a row. This one starts with 277. I said before I was going to make the first 347 the last call. Here's the deal. The next 347 and 936. Last two callers of the night. That's it. I swear that's it. No more after that. But first 347 with the 277 after that. You were up now. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York, and I have two quick questions.
Yeah, what's up, Chris?
All right. The first one is about China and the Hall of Fame. Excluding Triple H's reason, do you think the main reason is because there's no reward for the McMahons doing business with China, given the things she has said about them over the years? And do you think, with regards to China, if she does get in the Hall of Fame, do you think it would be, from their standpoint, it would be a posthumous induction because they don't want to have to deal with her face-to-face? And the second question is about the world title situation. Do you think in the future, in order to alleviate a crowded main event scene, that the McMahons might go back to a two-world title picture? Because the main reason why they're having these problems is because having one world title, if you put Roman Reigns in the match, you have to leave Daniel Bryan out of it. If they had another world title, it wouldn't cause them any headaches.
All right, good questions. I'll start with the title situation. Here's the thing. If WWE had booked properly and listened to their fans and really had their finger on the pulse, they would have known Roman Reigns wasn't the guy to go with at the Royal Rumble. And then we wouldn't even be having this discussion. Same with Batista last year. So basically what you're advocating is the idea that you have one title for you, where you give the people what they want, and then you have a title where Vince gets to do what he wants. Problem is, I just think it waters things down. I wasn't in favor of splitting or of unifying the titles because I saw value in having two championships at the time, and there just wasn't a big demand for it. But I always say, once you did it, leave it alone. That's it. Don't go back. I can't even imagine a scenario where it comes off well, where all of a sudden, hey, we have two titles again, and people are excited about it, you know? And so I just say leave it alone and pay Brock the extra money to get him to come back for one more match a year so there's not that ridiculous gap there. As far as China is concerned, you know, there's a poll right now on ProWrestling.net. I put it up today. We were having all of our awards last week, and so I feel like I'm a week late to the party on this, but I was curious to know what people thought of if China belongs in the Hall of Fame. And we've had over 3,000 people vote in this poll already. 48% are saying yes, but there's no rush because they feel like there's other deserving candidates. 23% saying yes as soon as possible. And then 19% saying no, her life outside wrestling should keep her out. And 10% saying no, her wrestling career wasn't strong enough. Looking at it from WWE's criteria, does China belong in the Hall of Fame? I mean, hey, I feel like she meant more than Rikishi. Not a shot against Rikishi. I just did, you know. And I also feel like she meant more than Coco Beware and others in the hall. So from that perspective, sure. Do I blame WWE for not putting her in? No, because I think she's kind of a train wreck. You know, I mean, this is a woman, I didn't even pay attention to it. I didn't run it on the site. She put out a YouTube video saying she was going to get married and she's engaged or about to be engaged to some guy in Japan, and then she followed up with saying, oh, she's got three offers for engagement. I mean, I just don't think the woman is playing with the full deck, and I don't say that to be mean. I don't just throw that around loosely. I think there are some issues there, and if I'm WWE, I'm very leery of doing business with her. If as far as like doing it posthumously, let's see. I mean, hopefully, it's a long time before we even have to consider that. Right now, it just would feel to me like, they're doing it because of what you said. You know, they don't have to do business with her then, and I think a lot of people would see through it. But let's hope she has a good, long life, and we can revisit it then. But, yeah, I mean, I don't blame them. I don't think anyone was really thinking. I've said this before. I don't feel like people were just, you know, when are they going to put China in? The question from Steve Austin to Triple H caught me off guard. I wasn't, just because I don't think about it. Maybe some of that is just because I know the politics and it just wasn't, you know, it's like, okay, that's not going to happen. But I was surprised he brought it up in kind of like a way that, as great as Austin does on these, considering the boundaries, basically, and he knows, I don't think there's any set boundaries. I just think he knows in his mind, all right, you know, this is their network, and there's a fine line here. He's not going to ask about steroids and things like that. But I think with China, it's just, was anyone just sitting around? I mean, was it a big, it wasn't Randy Savage, the question that he asked Vince McMahon. It's not like everyone's been buzzing about when is China going in the Hall of Fame like they did Randy Savage for so many years. But good questions, Chris. Up next, the other 347, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Corey from New York.
Hey, Corey, what's up?
I just have one quick question, and I wish Zach Zimmer was on with you for this, but I guess we'll have to talk to him at another point, but with the current, you know, roster of NXT guys, you've got, you know, these big top level guys who are indie darlings, indie stars. Do you think that people are going to be nearly as excited for NXT once this batch of guys comes up to the main roster? You know, the Zanes, the Nevilles, the Steens, and when all you have left is, you know, the Sammy Callahans. I'm not trying to be negative answers, because like I said, I'm super excited for the show on Wednesday, but I'm starting to wonder, once these indie guys, and we just have guys that were brought in by developmental themselves from the Performance Center, are we going to be nearly as excited for, you know, the Jason Jordans, not to pick on Jason Jordan by any stretch, but those guys?
Yeah.
Do you think that we still are going to be super excited about this one-hour show that we think is so much better when the quality of the guys aren't as good?
Well, you know, I touched on it earlier, just the question of, do they start to shift more to the mainstream athlete rather than the independent wrestler? And I don't know, you know, only time will tell on that. That said, if, you know, this was a conversation, though, when they were calling up the Wyatts and the Shield members, and, you know, all of a sudden they're, and Adam Rose finally got the call, and other people were coming up. It's like, oh, like, boy, that cupboard's a little bare. Next thing you know, you've got Kevin Steen, aka Kevin Owens, coming in, Finn Balor, Hideo Itami. I mean, and so they were able to recover quickly. I think that, you know, who's to say that the next round, you're not going to, all of a sudden they do call these guys up, and, you know, you can pick whatever names you like from the independent scene today, but who's to say, Adam Cole's a guy they've had on and off discussions with, and, you know, there could be a whole new level of independent talent available down there that they kind of fill that gap. And so maybe it's not the guys that are kind of on the undercard in NXT now, or maybe, you know, maybe it's a little bit of some notable independent names. And then also some of the guys that are just undercard that you're not thinking of much of now start to blossom. You know, so I think, even though I was kind of like questioning it earlier, I can see where it could still work. You know, I think it's just what talent do they go out and get? One thing I really need to praise them for, though, Corey, is basically the fact that they're not playing the WWE games as far as, well, he just got here, we're not going to push him, we got to test him. No, I mean, Kevin Owens comes in, and, I mean, imagine if Kevin Owens had come to WWE. Now, I'm not saying, like, if Triple H were running the main roster, Kevin Owens would be in the main event of WrestleMania. I'm not, you know, crazy enough to think that. But he wouldn't even be sniffing, like, much of anything, probably. You know, it just would be, oh, okay, Kevin Owens is going to have to pay his dues and work his way up and all that. We're not seeing that. It feels in NXT like if you have enough of a track record and they feel like they can get something out of you now, they do. It's not a seniority contest. And so I've been really impressed by that, Corey.
Okay, I guess that makes – like I said, I was just a little afraid on the idea that, you know, everyone's so popular with regards to the product right now, and everyone was so happy with things that were being said about, you know, non-scripted promos and everything in the Triple H interview. And I was just looking at the roster, and I'm guessing, you know, the Devitts, a lot of these guys aren't going to be there.
Right.
They might be there for another year, but, you know, after that, am I going to be as excited to see, like I said, you know, some of these guys who right now are enhancement talents who haven't become guys that they wanted to push yet? Are we, as, you know, the smart marks, whatever we want to call ourselves, are going to be as excited to see NXT every week when there aren't the independent guys who everyone, you know, think of these almost as like dream matches now.
Well, and this is a special class. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people really thought they were going to get Kenta. You know, I mean, that was pretty special. I think most people, well, I shouldn't say for sure, but I think, you know, you just kind of assume like, all right, he's a star in Japan. Is that going to be, is he going to be content staying there? You know, some Japanese guys would be and just content to be the star of New Japan Pro Wrestling and not feel the need to go to WWE. They got him. They got Finn Balor. I mean, this could turn out to be a really special class, but I still think there's enough independent talent out there that it's possible that, you know, they're able to kind of replenish the system with some notable independent talent that if those guys are there for another year, well, some of the guys on the independent scene that are starting to make some noise now, they get another year under their belt and maybe they come in. I don't know you're going to get a ready-made, you know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens type situation again. That's going to be tough to replicate, that's for sure. I mean, because they've just torn up for so many years outside. But, you know, it's only time will tell. I think next time I get together and do some audio with Zach, I'll definitely bring that up for him, Corey. But I know you have a podcast as well. Give me the quick version because we are low on time now.
Absolutely. The Workshoot, ED at the end, Workshoot Wrestling Podcast, workshoot.podomatic.com. You can go on iTunes and put in the Workshoot Wrestling Podcast when you're looking for the great audio of Jason Powell and his guys. Try to give us a listen, too. And we'll be doing a show tomorrow and trying to go and do as good a job as you guys do.
I appreciate it very much, and always good to hear from you. And you and I need to chat again. We've had some email communication, and I think we can make it work what we were talking about, Corey. You know what I'm saying, my man. Wow. And I was going to cut it off after this, and then I see there's a local number. How can I, like, you know, turn away a fellow Minnesotan? You'll be up next. But 936, you are on the line. Who are you? Where are you calling from? 936, are you there? 936?
Yes, Jason, this is Bruce. I'm from Huntsville, Texas. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. What's going on? You got to make it quick tonight. We're down to under 10 minutes. But
that
I lose
is not
you.
A problem. I'll make it real quick.
Oh, there you are.
My question is about the Hall of Fame. There's one team and one person from the old WWF days that are not in the Hall of Fame yet. The Moondogs and Ivan Koloff. Do you see either of them getting in?
I would really like to see Ivan Koloff get in. You know, I think he had a major impact for WWE, and so Moondogs. I don't know that there's going to be any sense of urgency to put them in. I could be mistaken, but I mean, it's just they're not a team that comes up on a regular basis. I mean, I think there should be more. Nothing against the Moondogs, but I'm in a bigger hurry to see the Freebirds and the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express and even Demolition. Than I am the Moondogs.
I'll agree with that. I was just thinking because, you know, McMahon has to think, well, it's got to come from the Northeast Territory, not from other.
I hear you. Yeah.
So that's why I came up with the Moondogs, because the Samoans are already in.
Sure. Anything else tonight?
Well, also, I mean, there's an independent female out there that I would love to see just because of the possibility of a Flair-Blanchard feud. Tessa Blanchard, Tully's daughter. She's making impact on the independent scene.
She is, and I mean, it sounds like she's still pretty green. I would say she's someone that, you know, she could spend some time in developmental, and I don't know that I haven't heard any reports that, wow, she's a natural like Charlotte, you know, I mean, but at the same time, I don't know that we were hearing that necessarily right off the bat, you know, and certainly it took Charlotte some time to settle in at NXT, but in the whole developmental system. But, I mean, yeah, the pedigree is there. I don't know that, and she has a good look and everything, so maybe she will get that opportunity at some point. But I know she's working in the Carolinas by and large. I know she's done some work for Shore's promotion, or I shouldn't even say his promotion itself, but I know, like, promotions that he's worked with in the past, and he has good things to say about her, so there's that. And 612 dropped off, so you got more time if you need it, my man. I don't know what the hell. My hometown guy just decided, you know what, I'm hanging up. First he had two lines going somehow, some way, and then he just disappeared.
Well, I'll go with one more thing, and I definitely agree with you on the Freebirds, but I want to see Skandar Akbar.
Oh, yeah,
and
that
I'm
would
hoping,
be nice.
And I'm hoping and praying that they're going to be in Dallas next year, that we get Skandar, the Freebirds, Gentleman Chris Adams. I mean, all great guys that made their names in Dallas, besides, of course, the Freebirds, besides, of course, the Von Erichs.
You know, Skandar's passed away. He's no longer with us. He died, I want to say, about 5 years ago or so.
Yeah,
2010. Yeah, I mean, excellent choice. I recommend to. I remember Gary Hart wrote a lot about him in his book, and I know it's
Gary
a limited
Hart's
publication.
Another one I wouldn't mind seeing.
Absolutely, and I mean Gary Hart, I would love to see in there. Skandar Akbar. I mean, there's so many names you can associate with Texas, including the Freebirds. That's why I say if I'm WWE, I just hold off a year. I mean, you've waited this long to go with the Freebirds. Michael Hayes is in the company. He's not. Hopefully, he's not going anywhere. And so I'd wait for Texas for them. But
well, I've heard Michael Hayes in interviews say that he's been offered it. And the only way he'll accept it is if all the Freebirds are in and if Kevin can induct. And if Kevin's not available to induct, he doesn't want to go in. He'd rather wait. And I've heard him say this on interviews.
I got to think that makes even more sense then to do it next year, given the you know the
right.
the Von Erich name in Texas. I mean, okay, granted it's not you know 1988 or whatever, you know whatever their true peak was so bad with years, but still the name means something in Texas. You saw the crowd reaction to Kevin and his sons at the TNA show that they had in Texas, and
right.
And also, I think it's good for mainstream media in that market. I think that gets a lot of play. If Kevin Von Erich is there to help induct the Freebirds, there's going to be some mainstream media in Texas that's going to pick up on that. So I think it makes even more sense to do it there.
Exactly. Yes.
Was that it, man?
Yeah, that's all I have for this week. I'm a long-time listener, and I call in as much as I can. So, and for once, I can actually agree with Rabbit.
Oh, my God. Don't tell him. Ray, hopefully he's not still listening.
Ray Stevens does belong, and this is the year because it is in the territory that he helped build.
Absolutely. Hey, you'll get no argument from me. And I think, you know, something the first time this came up, I don't remember if it was on this show or another show, I think it was actually on the livecast that I do on Tuesdays at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern with Wade Keller, pwtorchlivecast.com. I had to work that in one more time. The nice thing about that is you get something Jim Ross alluded to today as well, that, you know, it's Pat Patterson, longtime tag partner, could handle the induction, and he meant a lot in that area as well. And it's I think it would be pretty cool if in California, Ray Stevens went in and Pat Patterson was there to accept the honor on his behalf. You'll get no argument from me about Pat Patterson going in this year. Hopefully, that is in the cards. It's interesting though with the Hall of Fame. It just you know as they get Randy Savage in and some of the names, it's like, why isn't this person in? And we're not getting as many of those. I mean, believe me, they're still out there. But I don't know. The more we go, it's just kind of like, well, you get kind of that regional favorite like Ray Stevens is this year, and then it's just kind of, well, whoever. You know, I mean, in a perfect world again, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, Freebirds, and Ivan Koloff, Lou Thesz. I mean, there are people I'd like to see get in, but once you get, it's like Rikishi. Okay, cool. You know, he's going in, but it wasn't like any, I don't know how many people were just on the edge of their seats going, when is Rikishi going to get in? So as we go forward, I mean, it's, you know, more people will kind of reach that Hall of Fame status and all, but I just, I don't know, I just don't have as much passion for who's going to get into the Hall of Fame as they used to. The big one will be cleared up this year with Randy Savage going in. It's nice to see that finally happen, regardless of the circumstances, finally going to happen. I'm looking forward to covering that event. Just a couple of things to wrap up here. Again, I'd strongly encourage you check out Zach Zimmerman's live coverage of the NXT special. Nobody is passionate about NXT as Zach Zimmerman is. So that'll be Wednesday night, starting with the pre-show that they're doing at 6:30 Central, I believe it is. The live show of the live coverage of the actual show will be at 7 p.m. as it airs on WWE Network. You'll definitely get great insight from Zach on NXT coming up on Wednesday night. But before then, on Tuesday afternoon, you will hear. I just got my call-in information for that Triple H conference call. It's always interesting conversation that the wrestling media has with Triple H. The questions are limited to NXT and the Performance Center and that sort of thing. So if you're like, why haven't you guys asked him about this? Well, that's why. He's doing this to promote the NXT brand and the live special, and so that's what we are asked to limit the calls to. And I no guarantee I'll get in, but I'll definitely have some good questions for him, hopefully, if I do. And we'll have that audio up. Either way, whether I get in or not to ask a question, we'll have that available for you guys on the free side of things. Again, if you're listening at blogtalkradio.com or anywhere on Downcast, however you get our audio, you will have access to that on Tuesday afternoon. And also, live coverage on Thursday of the Vince McMahon and George Berrios conference call regarding the WWE financial numbers. So all sorts of things coming up. It's going to be a fun week. I appreciate the fact that you took some time to begin your week with us on ProWrestling.net Live. I'll be back next week, same time, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern, shortly after WWE Raw. So until then, thank you so much for listening, and take care.